probably remove yourself from 99. If you've submitted it, you're in the 0.1 percentile of right.
Today is May 22nd.
So just by
this is conduct.
That point,
workshop is writing workshop. Clint Johnson.
Well, I think that I'm going to start now. Let me start by introducing myself. My name is Clint Johnson, and this is my first nationally published book. It's coming out in about 2 weeks, June 9th. Released under the pseudonym R.D. Henham, which I did not pick.
So, you said R.D.?
What?
R.D.
R.D. Oh, yes.
Why Henham?
Not R.D.
Why Henham?
That's a good question. Do any of you know Stacey Whitman? She will be at this conference. Ask her. She was my editor. So, this is a middle grade fantasy novel published by Meristone.
Can I ask a question? Why did you publish under a pseudonym?
Because there are 10 books in this line, and they are all under the same ethos of R.D. Henham.
Okay.
That's why. It would not have been my choice, but there's a choice between getting a book published and not getting a book published. I suggest you get your book published. Okay? I hope you've all come prepared to do some writing today. This is a workshop, and a lot of the time is going to be spent writing and doing some exercise. Okay? They didn't put any announcement of what I'll be speaking about, did they?
No.
We have no idea.
Okay.
Not on the website. Nothing.
If you hadn't free reign spoken up during the last one, I probably would have been going towards one of the other ones.
Oh, boy. I'm glad that I have a big mouth. Okay. Well, let's start here. What I'm talking about today applies to all narrative. Okay? Fiction, nonfiction, applies to short and long, so everyone should be able to get something. Let me start with a question. When we're writing a story, what are we actually doing? When we go from page 1 to page 10, or 100, or 500, what are you doing? Thank you, sir.
I'm trying to create an emotional beast in a reader.
Okay. That's the end. That's the result that you want. Okay. What are you mechanically doing?
Telling a story.
What is that?
Well, you're either making symbols on a piece of paper or you're hitting on keys on a keyboard.
Okay.
In some kind
I'm
of order.
I'm thinking more in terms of not linguistic composition, but story composition. I'll give you a hint. There's three things that you're doing when you're telling a story. Okay?
You're communicating.
Okay? More particular than that. Okay.
We've got to write a beginning, middle, and end.
Oh, you just tell them.
Those are stages.
Yeah.
Those are stages.
You're communicating what's in your head so that other people can have it in their head.
Okay, so how? What are we actually doing?
Are you looking for character plot setting?
Hey, there we go.
I'm winner.
These are the three components that make up any narrative or story. Okay? We're setting scene, we're advancing plot, and we're revealing character. That is story. Those three elements. Everything else that we do when we're telling a story is in service to one of these three things. Okay? Let's talk about each of them individually and how they work. First, setting scene. This is giving the environment, right? The location where your story is going to happen. Does anybody know why this is important?
Well, in science fiction fantasy, it's one reason why we read the genre is because we want to be taken to a different place.
Okay, that's good.
It's a way of drawing the reader into the story so that they can actually place themselves there.
Okay, that's true. But why does it do that?
Well, I can tell when it doesn't do it. I mean, when you just have a long info dump that explains this is how the world works.
Oh, we'll talk about that. That's what this is
actually
about.
That's not good.
That's what we're going to talk about today, how to avoid info dumps. And anything related thereunto. Okay?
It tells the reader where they are. It gives them almost like stage directions of
that's a good way to look at it. Let's look at the stage. Okay? The particulars of your set or the particulars of your stage are going to lend certain things to the final production. Okay? What they're going to do is they're going to determine the likely and possible actions that can take place. When you are writing your scene, you are, by default, composing your plot to some degree. Because if the climax of your story takes place in an arena, that has different possibilities than if it takes place in a bedroom. Right?
Usually.
Well, it depends on the species.
We also yes. You can have a sufficiently dirty ending in either place. Okay? It's just about how public it is. Okay? Other things that setting does is it gives texture, it gives ambiance. You know, you may be familiar with the term milieu. That's a more classical term. Yes.
Also, shapes character. I mean, the same character stuck in Mercedes Lackey's world versus George R. R. Martin's world would be very different people.
Exactly.
You couldn't have the same kind of plot, so the setting kind of has to shape everything else.
Exactly. Okay. Plot is the events in the story. It's the things that happen. And it helps to think of it as a sequence of events because none of them are individual. They're all interconnected. Okay? Advancing plot provides feelings of curiosity and suspense in the reader. This feeling of motion, this actual motion, because the feeling of motion is, in almost every instance, not enough. There has to be actual motion, actual evolution. This is important. The other thing is that plot events act as catalysts for the character to react to. Notice that we talked about setting scene and how scene can do the same thing. The environment provides stimuli for the characters to react to, which is why the same character in different worlds may react differently. Different characters in the same situation will react differently. And so we all know what characterization is, right? I want to give you a little different definition for it, a different way to look at it. Today we're going to look at characterization as the composition technique that we use that communicates why events, action, people, and places matter. I'm positing that if you have your setting and you have your plot and you don't use characterization correctly, your setting and your plot don't matter. Characterization is the tool that we use to ascribe relevance in our stories. So, we have these three things that we're doing whenever we're telling a story. What happens when you just get one of these components, usually your setting scene? You already heard the term for it.
Info dump.
That's the main type of an info dump, right? Who enjoys reading these?
The author.
The author enjoys writing.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
Because we're showing off our own brilliance.
Mm-hmm. By info dump, you mean longer than a sentence, right?
We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Right. Too much info that's unnecessary to the scene.
Who thinks just description, pure, unbiased description, how much is too much? For your taste.
If it's irrelevant. That's too much. If you've got any irrelevance in there, it's too much.
Also,
if it doesn't have any effect on the characters or on the scene.
So by this definition, any pure description is too much. Okay, why would it not be?
Because it comes up.
You don't have to raise your hand.
Okay.
Call out
action. Well, you can the thing is, you can get character across by if your character notices something and you describe how your character would describe it, or you just, like, the character notices certain things. You get character and setting at the same time.
That's exactly right. That's double-duty writing.
But then that's not an info dump. That's something
else. That's right. It isn't. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, we sometimes think we're doing that, and we don't. Or, we get lazy, and we don't do that. Good story is almost always triple-duty writing, which means that you're setting scene, you're advancing plot, and you're revealing character at the same time. Every page, every paragraph, every sentence, if you can do it. Now, if you're going to use one of these elements, let it be the setting and the scene, because it's not required as constantly. And it's pretty easy to do double duty writing, to do two of these things at a time. The problem is the two of these things that we do at a time are usually setting scene and advancing plot. So you're doing two things that, because of the component you're leaving out, risk being irrelevant. So I would suggest, think about your writing in these terms. If you ever read a paragraph where you haven't learned something about a character, that paragraph is irrelevant, or it's logistic. It's in there because it's an info dump. No matter how artfully written it is, it's an info dump. Let me give you some examples of this, and I'm going to read one real small passage of just pure description. Okay? Then I'm going to read the same passage where relevance is ascribed. When I read the second passage, I want you to all tell me about the character. Okay? Here's the first passage. The garden was old and overgrown. A shoulder-height brick wall with a wrought iron gate guarded the perimeter. A path of dark pebbles led to the end. Just pure description. You can see it. You know, it's not real long. It's fairly concise. But that's pure description. Now I want you to actually write down what you can tell about this same character who is giving this description. Gotta find this passage. Okay. The garden was old and overgrown. The kind of place you could lose something and come back years later and magically discover it again undisturbed. A shoulder-height brick wall with a wrought iron gate guarded the perimeter, tempting him to peek over the top. He didn't dare. A path of dark pebbles led to the entry, and they crunched softly with each step he took. As he walked, he wondered, did she hear him? What did she think if she did? What do you know about this person from that passage?
Scared. Nervous.
About what?
Being discovered.
By whom?
He's curious and shy.
We know it's a girl. We know his feelings about her to some degree. Anything else that we know?
He's capable of restraining his own impulses. He doesn't always act on spontaneous emotion. He's also very insecure.
There's a level of self-awareness. There's a level of self-consciousness.
I think he sounds kind of like an introverted person almost. Kind of like somebody who likes the secluded places.
Okay, so we've talked about the negative parts, but let me go back and read the first. The garden was old and overgrown. The kind of place you could lose something and come back years later and magically discover it again undisturbed. Is he talking about the garden?
He's talking about himself.
Is he? Maybe. Maybe he's talking about the girl. We know there's a girl involved. Maybe he's talking about both. Maybe he doesn't know.
Maybe he's talking about their romance.
Okay. Did I tell you that these people were involved in any type of relationship? How did you get there? Because that's the scenario behind this scene.
He's nervous about her seeing him, but he's trying to approach her. Something was lost, and he's hoping to magically pick it back up. Just kind of close.
From setting scene. All of this came from description. There was just one tool, one technique that was used to combine with the description. And it also advanced plot, right? You guys suddenly have some, at least, guesses as to things that have happened in the past and things that have happened in the future. You know that it's been some time since these people have met. Right? That's probably a safe guess. You know something about, or at least you suspect, that there are certain types of feelings that he feels for this person, and there's some conflict there. All that's communicated in this short passage. So, what is the technique that is used to do this?
It has a viewpoint now.
Exactly. It's point of view. Your point of view character is how you do triple duty writing. with a strong, motivated, realistic, larger-than-life point of view character, every bit of your setting becomes stimuli. Every plot event becomes a catalyst. They are in and of themselves not a story. Anytime you do one by itself, you're not telling a story. Anytime you do both at the same time, you are not telling a story. You have just begun the story. You have the potential for it. It's not story until it's consummated by point of view. Okay? A story without a strong and well-crafted point of view window is like a chaste marriage. Things are happening, but nobody's having much fun. Okay? So what we're going to work on is how to use point of view to do triple duty writing, where everything that we write is accomplishing rich, detailed story. So what I'm going to do is I have here four different hypothetical situations that identify character, setting, and a plot event. I want you to pick the one that you want to write, and then I'm going to give you, let's say, 10 minutes. And I want you to write a scene. In this scene, I want you to have the character respond in their mind or in some other way to everything that they see in the environment, to all the setting, and to the plot events. And I want you to include specific dialogue, if at all possible. The exercise is to reveal as much character as you possibly can without being too obvious, without overpowering the setting and the plot. Here are the situations that you have to choose from. Number one, the child, your point of view character, at a baseball game, the setting, on his first visit with his father after his parents have divorced. Second situation or scenario is an American woman, your character, at a British royal parade, setting, who sees the queen trip and fall down. There's your plot event. Third option is a reporter on a vacation on a beach who finds a drowned body. And the fourth option is a senior citizen at a museum who unexpectedly sees himself or herself in an old photograph. If you have any questions, go ahead and ask questions about this, questions about anything having to do with writing, that's fine too. Now I want everyone who wrote about the same subject to get together in a group, and I want you to examine each other's writing. I want you to compare it with each other. Because not only are you looking at how you wrote it, I gave everybody the same scenario and the same characters. I want you to look for distinctions, how many different ways there were to do this one thing and how that was achieved. And if there are similarities, I want you to look and say, okay, how unique is this point of view character? Where when things are getting similar between the ways that the things that you've written, ask, is it because the character is not distinctive? So who did the baseball game? Okay? Why don't you head in this corner back here? Who did the parade? One person?
I'll read
two people.
Okay.
So you're back right. Who did the drowned body? Here? And who did the at the museum?
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
A quiz.
Oh dear. Oh,
no. Same setting.
But now
same plot. Different character. You're going to write a new story.
Okay.
Using what you already have. The dialogue that you have, I want you to keep it. Word for word. The setting that you have, I want you to keep it as close as you possibly can. So don't change colors, things of that nature. you can change how you describe them, what you describe, because you're using a different character. Different characters will notice different things about a setting. Okay? But same exact plot, same exact setting, new characters. The baseball game. Now you're writing from the perspective of the father. The parade. Now you're writing from the perspective of the queen, who falls down and looks up and sees a woman in a USA shirt.
Body description of the body.
Those on the beach, your reporter is now the transient, who's searching for lost jewelry and hands and stuff.
A what?
A bum.
Oh, hobo.
My museum people, you're now the grandchild who sees a grandfather or a grandmother. You have 10 minutes. Drastically different. Let me ask you this. Who's telling a completely different story? Whose theme has changed? Okay? Every theme should have changed. New character's story through the same event is different. Thank you. Okay? So let's go into our groups and let's compare and contrast as much as we can in the last, say, 7 minutes.